Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Jamal with a stroke of genius.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. My name is Eric. I'm your residential Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And again, this is Birds at the Rodeo, episode 11. We are here. The season is flying by.
Absolutely. Needs to speed it up a little bit now.
Oh, he needs it to speed up because, I mean, let's be real. Dallas' season is over, but we'll get into that on a deeper note in a little bit. Hey, man, first and foremost, did you see Sunday Night Football?
Yes, I saw most of that game for sure.
That was insane.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of the Texans fans I know, they were sick after that.
let me say this. First off, how do you lose a game in which you pick off the opposing quarterback 5 times?
That's ridiculous.
How do you lose a game like that? And on a crazier note, how do you win a game in which you throw 5 interceptions?
That's just the luxury. That's kind of what my point about. Just sometimes it's when you look around, it's what's around the quarterback a lot of the times. Because I mean, that was a quarterback you just had in your top three, and he threw 5 picks and still was able to win the game. Yeah,
no, his MVP stock definitely took a major drop off after that game. Major drop off.
Right. Right. I mean, that's insane. That's literally crazy. 5 interceptions and still winning the game. 5 interceptions.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I also think, like, God, dude, that was a Detroit game if there ever was a Detroit game. You know what I'm saying? Like, nitty gritty. Everything is going wrong for you, and you still figure out a way after 5 interceptions. Like, if that's not a Detroit game, I don't know what is.
Really?
Like, I legit don't know what is. And I'm going to say this, too. Like, I guess kudos to Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson for not, like, throwing in the towel with Jared Goff after 4 interceptions, I guess. Right? Because, I mean, hey, man, if that's your guy, that's your guy, and you're going to ride with him, I guess I respect that.
I think as long as you're still in the game, you stick with them. But
I was sitting there asking myself, like, do they put Hendon Hooker in? Like, I mean, I'm not saying, like, bench Jared Goff for the season or whatever, but, like, obviously he does not have it going on right now.
Yeah, I can see that. But
right, like, yeah, I don't know. Dude, that just, what a game. People over here talking about Kansas City and Denver. I'm like, nah, dude, Denver, like, first off, side note, that's all the karma Sean Payton deserves. I don't care what anybody says. He deserves all that bad energy. All right? I'm not saying I hope he gets fired, but, like, you put Russell Wilson out to pasture like that, and he's out here balling, and your team's over here losing on last-minute field goal attempts getting blocked. I digress. But, yeah, dude, Sunday Night Football, that was a crazy game. I truly appreciated watching that. That was crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I can't stress it enough, throwing 5 interceptions, turning the ball over that many times.
That does not happen.
Yeah.
Like, you lost the turnover battle by 3.
My game with that many turnovers just in total.
It's insane. There were 7 interceptions total in that game.
Right.
7. And the team that lost the turnover battle won. They lost it by 3 and they won the game. I mean, in Houston, they're soul searching right now. In Detroit, I mean, I can see how someone view that as, like, oh, man, like, they got to figure things out. I don't think so, dude. I think Detroit took that, and they're riding that momentum because, again, that was a Detroit Lions football game if I've ever seen one, right?
Definitely. I think with the way their season has been going, that's that's a game where they're supposed to lose. But the fact that they didn't just builds off of what they've been doing all season.
And they won it in the most ugly fashion possible.
Right. I think normally I would say if you're winning all of your games in ugly fashion, then right. That's not sustainable. That's not going to be. No. But if you've been dominating all season and you also are able to win the ugly ones,
right.
I think that'll fare well very for like looking down the road. Stuff like that'll come in handy, like being able to gut wins like that out.
It makes you battle tested for sure.
Exactly.
But okay, obviously this is birds at the rodeo, right? And I mean one of the biggest games of the season for us playing y'all in Dallas that happened this past Sunday. What were your honest thoughts and takeaways watching the game?
I think there were two completely separate games played. I think the first half
I can agree with that,
was a separate game than the second half.
Uh-huh.
I think throughout the entire game, I think it really just highlighted what I've been saying, that just to even be mediocre, to be the offense that we had to be a middle-of-the-pack offense, Dak Prescott had to be perfect. Yeah. So when you put in Cooper Rush, who's not as good, who's not perfect.
he was below adequate at times.
I think before he had a couple of bombs at the end, but I think his like average yards per attempt was like one point something yards.
He was missing a lot of throws.
Any throw he completed was for two, maybe three yards. Everything was at the sticks.
Right.
And it was and Jerry Jones said it, a lot of people kind of took his words incorrect. And it's hard. It's because what he says things in the wrong way a lot of the time.
Jerry?
Yes.
What did he say?
He said something after the game, and the way he said it, it made it sound like he was saying that he thought that we'd be better without Dak. Well, no, what he was saying was, even without Dak, he thought we would have been better than that.
He's
seen
field.
Cooper Rush play better than that, which I agree. We have seen better than what we saw on Sunday. I don't even know if it was more so the scheme or just Cooper was just not
rusty
ready to play. Because, like we said, he did miss a lot of throws. But at the same time, like I said, the throws he were completing, they were so short. It wasn't. I was confused on what the
plan was.
I remember there were times it'd be third and long, and he made a 4-yard completion on like third and eight. And
right.
How do we possibly have a chance? Because if, like I said, in the first half and the second half, those were two completely separate games.
Mm-hmm.
It was 7-6 at the end of the first half.
I agree.
And our defense, like I said coming into the game, the only way we have a chance to win that game is if our defense
goes out there
and holds a team to 12 points like they were in that span where Cooper Rush won five games.
Right.
And that's in that first half, they had a pick and two fumbles, or one fumble.
We had a pick and a fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fumble lost.
We had a fumble.
Y'all had fumbleitis.
We had two fumbles. We had Cooper Rush dropped. Our first drive, that bad snap. Defense went in, got a three and out, or they might have got a first down. They got a stop pretty quickly, forced a punt.
Yeah.
And the first snap of the game, Cooper Rush drops the ball. Philadelphia falls on it.
Milton Williams, baby.
That was y'all, and then y'all turn around and score on that. And that was the only touchdown our defense gave up in the first half.
Right.
And so y'all did have another drive. I think because y'all did have another. Y'all had 10 points in the. It was 10-7. Because y'all, I remember y'all had a drive right at the end of the half.
Yeah,
that was y'all's one drive where y'all had a long drive and it ended with points. So I'm pretty sure y'all scored a touchdown.
That was after Jalen threw that red zone interception.
Y'all did have another drive, but it ended in a red zone. That was I do blame Jalen because it wasn't. I think it was an amazing play by Diggs.
It was,
and I do blame, but only because there was an open receiver.
I know exactly. Yes, Grant Calcaterra was wide open. And
so,
you know what's crazy? Jalen Hurts literally said after the game, like, I told Grant that was going to be open. He said, I'm going to hit you, and then he didn't hit him. So I guess in one respect, right, thank you, Jalen Hurts, for acknowledging.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That,
but
yeah. Let's not make that mistake again, please. Exactly. I mean, Grant was screaming open. Definitely. Screaming open.
Definitely.
But no, like you said, man, it was two separate games played in one game, right? The first half, I mean, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was getting sick to my stomach. Like, I'm sitting here. We know what the deal is, right? Dallas, they're not playing for much right now. Y'all's team is depleted. Not a lot of talent all around, right? We are a team with Super Bowl aspirations. We are starting to dominate. We just beat up all the Bengals. I'm expecting us to come in there and dominate, right? First half, like you said, Jalen, offense is looking sporadic. Poor turnovers. Just poor ball handling all around. We're missing wide open guys. The offensive play calling was iffy. Saquon wasn't getting that many touches. Defense was, you know, doing pretty good, but like it was just a weird half of football. And I'm like, what is going on, dude? Like, this is what I'm talking about. We play down to the level of our competition sometimes. And then the second half came and we started to roll on y'all. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm not gonna lie, at the end of the game, like, I was almost like I was upset, but I wasn't like, I don't know. Like, if you're asking me right now, am I confidently saying the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl contenders and like we have a shot to win it? I don't even know if I can confidently say that, dude, because I don't see it on a consistent enough basis, like, to where it's like, all right, cool. We're playing the lowly Cowboys. We should go roll on them. And yeah, we rolled on you on the first half, but the first half, I mean, I don't even know what that was, right? And we got a tougher schedule coming up, dude. We got Washington Thursday night. We got the Rams, and then we got the Ravens. All right, those are, I mean, come on, man. And the Rams, they just lost on Monday Night Football to the Dolphins, but, like, make no mistake about it, the Rams can be in any game as long as Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and Matthew Stafford are healthy. All right, that's a fact. And the Ravens, well, we know what they're capable of, right? I mean, they're probably the best team in football right now. I mean, it's either them or Detroit, pick your poison. I mean, Kansas City, yeah, they're up there. They're still undefeated, but, like, I don't know who I would take right now out of those three teams. Kansas City, I mean, maybe I'll take them just because they got Patrick Mahomes, but I don't know, right? All I know is Kansas City, Detroit, and Baltimore. Those are the three top teams in the league. And, yeah, I guess you could say Philly's fourth, right? Whatever, however you want to slice it. But, like, I don't know, man. Yes, I'm happy we dominated in the second half. Right, I love that. I love the response that we saw that. And then again, I talked about that before, right? Like, the response to adversity. I love that we have that in our locker room, and especially at the quarterback position, right? Jalen could have easily faltered after that bad interception, after that bad fumble, right? Everybody, yes, and again, it was a great play by Trayvon Diggs, but like we just said, and Jalen Hurts even said it at his press conference, Grant Calcaterra was wide open, and he literally just did not throw it. Those have got to stop, because against the better teams, we're not going to get a chance to redeem ourselves like that, right? Like, it's just not going to happen.
I think even the fumble he got, that was also just a good play by Micah.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, it's when other teams, like, say y'all were playing the Lions, a team that gets just that forces turnovers.
Dude, we got Baltimore in 2 weeks, man.
Or, like, yeah, you play Baltimore, who say they force a turnover.
Right.
It's Lamar Jackson trying to put
– It's Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Not Cooper Rush and Ezekiel Elliott.
No. So, I just – we got to clean up the little things, man. We got to clean up the mistakes. God, dude, yeah. It's so perplexing being an Eagles fan right now, because, like, on one hand, it's like – God, are we there? Like, yeah, you want to say you're there, but then on the other hand, it's like, God Almighty, my head coach, I don't trust him on a week-to-week basis, right? I don't know what version of this team I'm going to get on a week-to-week basis, right? And yeah, like, I know I've seen all the, you know, I know all the numbers and the stats. Jalen Hurts, he's had 16 touchdowns, 2 turnovers since our bye week. You know, his numbers look really good, honestly, for the most part, but it's like, it's just, and again, I know you don't believe in the eye test, right? But it's like you see it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, when your team, like, you know your team is on a heater, and you're like, all right, yeah, like, we're starting to get in a roll. right? I don't feel like I thought the Cincy game and the Jacksonville game was going to be that for us. And, like, it seemed like you started it a little bit right, but then the Dallas game, we reverted back a little bit. So, like, honestly, like, what I need to see against Washington, against Los Angeles and Baltimore coming up, man, we need to start to go on a full-out heater. We need to come out and dominate Washington.
Start playing complete games.
Start playing complete games from start to finish, right? We got Washington coming up Thursday Night Football. Yeah, Jaden Daniels is good, and you know, they're overachieving right now a little bit. But, hey, man, if you ask me personally, talent-wise, I think we washed Washington for the most part. They got some good players over there, but I think we washed them, dude. Like, we need to come out here and put our foot on their necks, all right? And then we got the Rams coming up. Put our foot on their necks too, and Baltimore. That's gonna be the game. That might be the game of the season. It might. If we come ready to play, they come ready to play. Who knows what's gonna happen that game? All right. So, yeah. All in all, yeah. Obviously, happy to get a win. We'll go 1-0 each week. But I'm I guess I'm still in my same spot, right? Cautiously optimistic, right? I keep saying that. I can't wait for when I can just say, nah, bro, like, we are Super Bowl contenders and we can play with anybody. I can't wait till I can say that. I hope I can say that by the end of the season. We will see. On the flip side of that, though, you know, our season not being over, y'all season officially being over with the news Dak Prescott's officially going on IR, getting the surgery on the hamstring.
Yeah. I mean, with him, his season is over.
His season's over.
Our season was already over. Yeah. Whether he was missing the rest of the season, right. Him being out for an extended amount of time. Yeah. I mean,
that was the ticket, though. Like I said, right? That should be the ticket for y'all.
And so it started maybe
last week, really.
It started, like we said, every win we could potentially accumulate going forward just hurts our draft pick.
So for the record, you don't want y'all to win another game.
No.
Okay.
Even this Eagles game.
Yeah.
I would have had the most mixed emotions ever had we won. Yeah. Right.
Because what are we doing?
You never want to root for your – it's hard to root for your team to lose. You don't want to root for
– right, but, like, you know what position your team is in. It's like it'd be better for y'all to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But that – and that's my thing. Another thing I want – that game showed me that I would never just be okay. Like, when people say they would just rather – they want the team to lose, or they would hope we. I even in a game where I knew we had no hope that first half, I had a great time watching that.
Yeah,
and that second half, that was terrible to watch.
Did you cut the game off at one point?
No.
Okay, I was wondering. I was gonna text you, be like, I wondered if he cut the game off yet. But no, yeah. I think as fans, right? Like, we all, and I mean, I've gotten to points like I'm a Michigan fan, Michigan Wolverines fan. I've said it a long time ago. Our season's been done. All right. I still watch. I only watch because I'm from there. I'm from Michigan, right? Like, I'm going to ride for my team. But I know we suck. I know it's over.
Right.
I
was trying to say that when people say, because we've gone 12-5 these last few seasons, and yes, we lost in the first round of the playoffs or the second round 1 year.
Right.
And the people say that that's just because the outcome is the same. It's the same as going 3-12 or 3-14 or whatever. And that's so crazy to me because in this game alone, the outcome was the same. The first half happened in the second half. That first half was so much more enjoyable to watch. Like, I don't understand how people just throw out the week-to-week aspect or even the in-game aspect. Like, how do you not get excited? How is it not more exciting to see your team do well throughout the – even if the outcome isn't?
I think I get both sides of it, right? I think it's like – because on one breath, it's like, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And I guess for y'all, right, y'all gone.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
On 12-5, what, the past three seasons? Or, like, whatever, however long Mike McCarthy's been there, right? And I think for them, it's like, well, if we just keep getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs, then what are we doing? So, like, I get that, but it's also, like, I feel like those fans have never experienced a, like, a sincerely losing season. Like, y'all are probably about to experience now, right? Like, y'all in the midst of experiencing right now. Y'all were not fans of the 0-16 Detroit Lions or the 4-12 Philadelphia Eagles. We were 4-12, like, not even 10 years ago.
No, even when Dak got hurt in 2020, I think we went 5-12.
Right. Like, dude, like, no, it sucks.
Exactly.
It sucks. Like, when you know your team is not good, like, I'm telling you right now. If you're a Giants fan right now, you just lost to the Panthers in Germany. If you're a Giants fan right now, you just lost to the Carolina Panthers led by Bryce Young in Germany, dog. I know y'all going through it. Like, I don't want to experience that.
No, that's always my rebuttal. It's look at the rest of the league. You can't tell me that even though we lost in the first round after going 12-5, that wasn't more enjoyable than what the Giants did that same season.
No, it's but I mean, at a certain point, every franchise has to go through it a little bit, right? I mean, you'll get lucky if you're a Patriots fan, I guess. Your team just runs off a dynasty or the Chiefs, but everybody got to go through a little bit. But let me ask something in terms of Dallas, right? Before, like, we look ahead to 2025 for y'all, is there anything that you're going to, like, is there any, like, players that you, even young guys on the roster or anything, like, maybe like a Demarion Overshown? Or I know he got hurt, though.
No, that's why they need to take everybody out.
So you don't, okay.
Wrap everybody up and just, because that, he was the.
And his was a non-contact injury, too. I was
Micah came back and he looked really good, but Overshown was by far, I mean, Micah got that.
Dude, he had two quick sacks like crazy.
He was all over the place. And so seeing him go down, it hurt to watch him go down in a meaningless game like that.
Did they say what it was?
He's fine. Okay. He's not too hurt, but.
So there's no young players you want to watch and see develop. You just want everybody to stay in the house.
No, I've seen enough from Overshown to where I want him for next year. I mean, there are young guys.
Carson, I guess you could probably see if he can possibly.
I think our young linemen definitely need the reps. But in terms of Kalen Carson, I think he's.
Because Jerron Bland, is he even going to come back now, bro?
I'm disgusted. At this point, no.
There's no point.
He was supposed to miss. They told us his injury was going to be 6 weeks,
right?
2 weeks before the season even started.
Yeah,
and here we are in week 11.
Yep,
and he hasn't seen the field.
Yeah, I mean, setbacks happen, but I haven't seen it. Has it been setbacks with him? Or?
I haven't. It's not. They haven't said anything of the such. I think it was before the Steelers game. They said he was like prepping to come back, and he still has not seen the field.
Right.
And
right.
That's why when it comes to Kalen Carson, he was because we traded our fourth round pick for Trey Lance, so didn't have a fourth round pick this year.
Was he a fifth round pick?
He was either a third or a fifth round pick, maybe even he was a late round draft pick.
Yeah.
And he's not supposed to be. I did have high hopes for him coming into the season just based off what I saw in training camp.
Right.
But he's shown he's just not good enough to be guarding number one receivers.
No, yeah.
If we had Trayvon Diggs, Deron Bland guarding AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, maybe he could guard Jahan Dotson. Maybe he could guard some, but asking him to guard AJ Brown one on one is just coaching malpractice at that point.
Coaching malpractice.
I'm just gonna say
that's funny. Coaching malpractice
at this point, because with the injuries the team is sustained, you can't even really be mad because I say all the time, I'll be mad at Jerry for the team, but he put together a good cornerback.
Al Harris is looking to play the guys he has.
Exactly. He can only play who he has, but that doesn't mean you just leave the fifth round rookie on an island with one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Right.
So
no, I get you. Okay, so you are fully like, keep everybody in the house.
Yes.
Don't let nobody else get hurt.
No, because that's the thing. If we can. Well, we're at right now, we're in the position to get a top draft pick and have everybody healthy. If we lose anybody else, the later we lose someone in the season to injury, the farther their recovery time could be back, could be pushed back for next season.
Right. So with that being said, do you want Cooper Rush to keep starting or do you want – actually, what were your thoughts on Trey Lance? Because we saw Trey Lance get in the game a little bit. What were your thoughts on that?
He's not good. She cannot do anything except run the football.
So I guess
we were the Dallas Cowboys lit there. And that's another thing. They have no clue what they're doing. If this is just all a plan in the business of tanking, then I guess. But if it just seems like they just don't know what they're doing more so than, you know, not really
like trying as an organization.
To win. No, in terms of like a play style, like what they did with Cooper Rush and Trey Lance, they were running a high school offense. My senior year of high school, that is the exact offense that they ran.
Yeah,
we had a young running back. I mean, a young quarterback who was pretty much only a threat with his legs.
Yeah,
and then our senior, because we had a back, literally the exact. Our starting quarterback got hurt. Our backup quarterback wasn't that mobile, couldn't really throw well. But then we had a freshman who came in who could really only run. Yeah. If the freshman was in, it was a quarterback run.
Run every time, running the ball. You knew it.
And so it's like that's what high schools do.
Dude, when I tell you, Lando, that is legit the offense Michigan runs right now. Because it's just.
I don't know how they think that it's. Even if you're trying to win, I don't understand how you think that could work when it's. Everyone knows what you're doing if that's how you're running your offense.
Right. Okay. So by your previous logic, like I think you said it last episode too, right? Like you said at first you didn't want Trey Lance to play.
No, I don't want him to play at all.
Because you think y'all could possibly trade him down the road, right? Is that why, right?
Well, the thing, he's a free agent at the end of this season.
Yeah.
So
I don't think you picked up his fifth year option, right?
So I don't know. we can't trade him, but. We can get, if he signs other plays, we can get like conditional picks.
So
we need him to be able to sign somewhere else. And like I said,
okay. So you want to stay with Cooper Rush?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
I think neither gives us a chance to win.
No.
So.
Yeah. I mean, the season's over.
I don't want us to win. That's why.
Right.
And that's right.
Trey Lance.
No matter who we go with, Cooper, right. we're gonna lose. So we might as well let Trey Lance walk, get higher conditional picks when people still think there's potential there.
Right.
If anybody still thinks there's potential there, because Jerry, probably the only person who thinks that.
Kyle Shanahan literally is the luckiest guy on the planet that he found Brock Purdy. That's all I'm going to say. Because remember, they traded two first-round draft picks to move up to get Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think that was just.
Man, that's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. I think it's.
I think it's crazy.
It's they gambled and lost.
That was a huge gamble.
Because, most people when they trade up to get a quarterback out of the draft, that's what they do.
But my thing is Trey Lance, he only started one season in college football. And
you're the college football expert.
You don't trade up for him. You trade up for a Joe Burrow. You trade up for a Lamar Jackson.
Nobody traded up for Lamar Jackson.
They just let him fall to Baltimore at 32.
Yeah,
like you know what I'm saying. You don't trade up for a Trey Lance. In my opinion, you don't do that. But okay, yeah. So
I'm against trading up for a quarterback in general.
Yeah. I think it depends, like...
Because in my opinion, everybody is a gamble.
I
genuinely think coming out of college, everybody is the exact, like, is an equal in terms of gambling.
Yeah.
I think trading up for Joe Burrow is an equal gamble of trading up for Trey. Because you just never know.
It's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot, especially with quarterbacks. It's a crapshoot, right? Because, and again, until proven otherwise, right? Bryce Young is not looking like he should have been picked number one overall.
Exactly.
Right. So yeah, no, it's always a crapshoot. I'm saying like, God, because who else was in Trey Lance's draft? Dang, I can't remember right now, but I know it was guys with more college experience, right? More.
I think Trevor Lawrence was that draft. I think he was.
Was he in that draft?
I think he was the. But I think Trevor Lawrence is the only quarterback still.
On the same team. Yeah, like,
still really even in the league.
Well, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, who's his backup now, right? Like, I mean, that's another great example, too, right there, right? Trevor Lawrence, he is underwhelming at best, right? And he was the next generational guy, right? He was compared to Manning and all this and that, right? He was the next great thing coming out, but he hasn't lived up to the hype either. I think he got paid prematurely, too. I've said that before.
It was Trevor Lawrence, then Zach Wilson, then Trey Lance, Then the next quarterback picked was Justin Fields. Okay. Then yeah, Mac Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then let me see if there's another first round.
It's crazy.
No, those are all the first round quarterbacks picked that
draft.
And
it's crazy because, like, Trevor Lawrence, again, he hasn't been great his career, but, like,
he's the best one. And I think he's right.
You can say he's overrated right now.
I wouldn't even say overrated. Well,
I wouldn't even say overrated. I think he got overpaid. I definitely think he got overpaid.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Even in that, right? Like, it's a crapshoot because everybody, Jacksonville took him thinking he's going to be the next Peyton Manning, or he's the next big thing out of Clemson, and he has not lived up to that on a consistent basis. Like, he's shown a little bit of flashes, but. I wouldn't have paid him. I wouldn't have paid him yet. I'm not going to lie.
That's why I disagree with all of the let Dak walk and just find somebody in the draft, guys.
Right. A lot of y'all, like Cowboys fans, I'm sure a lot of y'all now are just like, all right, let's trade Dak. Let's draft somebody. We'll fix it. Y'all's problems are way bigger than that, bro.
And you're banking on a team who – honestly hasn't shown the ability to has never shown the ability to draft a quarterback, but since Troy Aikman, which was
because who after years, Troy y'all drafted
the think Quincy Carter,
right? Y'all drafted him in the first round, right?
He was I think he's the only first round quarterback, and he wasn't like a top first round pick,
right?
And even if you look at the rest of our picks, our last few drafts haven't been the best.
In terms of quarterbacks?
In terms of players in general.
Okay.
We have one – like, if you look around the league, a lot more people are hitting on their draft picks than we are.
Right. Yeah, so this upcoming draft is going to be important.
We've had – in the last few years, we have one, maybe two picks a draft where I'm like – where they're still, you know, starting caliber players.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, ideally, like – if you're drafting a player, and obviously not in the first round, I'll say third round and on, right? Like third round and under or lower. You really just anticipate that person being able to get on special teams, and contribute, be a solid contributor to a 53-man roster, right? Maybe they can spell a spotter every now and again. Maybe they can develop into a starter down the road, but ideally they can make the 53-man roster. That is ideally what you're looking for.
Like right now, our last draft, we had Tyler Guyton.
Yep.
But as a first round pick, you would wish he'd be doing better.
Yeah.
Marshawn Nealon
hurt, right?
DeMarcus Lawrence got hurt.
Yep.
Michael Parsons got hurt, and then Marshawn Nealon got so he's not even playing.
Yep.
Cooper Beebe. He's playing pretty well, but like I said, one, maybe two players in the draft.
Was he a second-round draft pick?
Third.
Third, okay.
Maris Leofau, he's shown some flashes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I'd say he's playing as well as you'd think a late third-round pick would play.
Okay.
Didn't have a fourth-round pick, traded it for Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Didn't have a fifth-round pick. I think that got traded for Amari. That was the one that got traded with Amari Cooper.
Amari, yeah, yeah.
And then Caitlin Carson, like I said, so he was
a fifth round draft pick.
He was a fifth round, a super late fifth round draft pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Not playing well.
Yeah.
Ryan Flournoy, remember
him? We talked about.
And then Nathan Thomas and Justin Rogers, haven't heard a single thing about them.
Right.
That was like, and then I want to just point this, I'm going to just go to this last one. Not going to go too many drafts, but then, because these last two drafts were like really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, Cooper Beebe in this last draft is the only person who's playing
well. He's the gem.
I'd say.
Yeah.
And then last year's draft, first round pick, Mozzie Smith. Terrible. At this point, it can be considered a draft bust. Luke Shoemaker, draft bust. Demarion Overshown, gem.
Absolutely.
Diamond in the rough.
Right.
Villamy Fajoco, giving us nothing. Asim Richards, giving us nothing.
He played a little bit for y'all all Sunday, though. Because somebody got hurt, I think.
Who? I think Tyler Guyton didn't even play last game.
I think, you're right. I think, Richards did start. I think you're right.
Yeah. Eric Scott Jr., DN, not doing much. No. Deuce Vaughn, healthy scratch everywhere, every week. And Jalen Brooks. I think every pass that's thrown,
the receiver, right? Yeah, 83? Is 83? Yeah.
I think every pass thrown to Jalen Brooks is a wasted down. He's not good enough. He's never open.
Good enough.
And he gets so many. And Dak targets him pretty entirely too much for me, and it's like a couple times a game. But Cooper Rush, man, maybe it's like their backup.
That's his guy in the scout team.
Yeah, their scout team reps. Yeah. But he was targeting Jalen Brooks in that game.
Okay.
And I got to look. I actually want to know what his target and catches were in that game.
Oh my god, that's funny.
He was not getting the ball. He was not catching the ball.
Right. No, it's funny. While you look that up, it's funny that when you mentioned like draft and development, right? I will say like, and I'm not just saying this because I'm an Eagles fan. Well, like I guess I am, but like I feel like we do a tremendous job of scouting and developing our talent, even later round draft picks. You know, Sidney Brown we found in the third round. Really good safety for us. Keely Ringo, we drafted him in the fifth round. N'Kobe Dean, we drafted him in the third round. Nolan Smith, and he was drafted in the first round, but he was a steal because, like, how we traded back up into the first round to get him. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we do a really good job of developing talent. We have a really good assistant coaching staff, like, especially on the O-line. Jeff Stoutland, to me, best O-line coach in football. Shoot, we turned Jordan Mailata. We turned a former pro rugby player into an all pro left tackle, bro. Like, what? If that's not development, I don't know what is, right? So, real quick, I just wanted to shout out, like, and you're right in that, right? Like, you got to hit on your draft picks, and then you got to be able to develop those draft picks,
right?
Right? Because if you can't, then what are we doing? Like, you're just back in the drawing board every offseason,
right?
Right? So, yeah, this upcoming 2025 draft for y'all is going to be super important just in terms of like what y'all's foundation is moving forward. And I mean, to be honest, y'all's whole team could look a lot different, and I guess should look a lot different come that time, right? I mean, I'm assuming you'll probably have a new head coach, right? Because Mike McCarthy should be gone, Mike Zimmer should be gone, Brian Schottenheimer, he should be gone. I mean, I don't know what he's doing there because we know Mike McCarthy's running the show. So offensively, yeah, y'all just need a whole new look.
Yeah. In that game, Jalen Brooks, four targets too many, one catch, four yards.
Yeah. No, go back to the practice squad, Jalen Brooks. Go back to the practice squad.
And I don't want to completely just dog on our you know, our scouting department. Like, we have
– y'all found some guys.
Though we've just had two back-to-back bad drafts because of the draft before that. That's when we found Tyler Smith.
Right.
We found Jake Ferguson, fourth round. Deron Bland was the fifth.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Round.
Right, so right,
there was,
right.
That was all the same draft. And then I remember we got Diggs and CD. Those were Diggs and CD were just high round picks. Where
Trayvon, what was he? He was a second round draft pick, right?
First and second.
Right.
We got them in the first and second round. But
right.
Micah's draft was really bad. We got Micah, and then everybody after him was.
Dude, I wanted Micah coming out so bad. But it's okay.
And I remember I wanted a corner. I wanted Patrick Surtain coming out of that draft.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
all pro for the Broncos.
Never brought. Because we desperately needed to. I wanted him, and I wanted him to pair him with Diggs.
Trayvon, yeah.
That would have been. Yeah,
I mean, sure. Hey, speaking of secondary, man, I mean, shout out Howie Roseman because he hit on two in our first two draft picks this past draft. Number one in Quinyon Mitchell, number two in Cooper DeJean. Those guys are going to be locking up our secondary for the next 10 plus years, hopefully. There's a bow on Dallas' season, right? Like that's what it is, right? It's a bow on Dallas' season. It is what it is. You're just looking ahead in 2025. So are you going to start watching college football a little bit more to tap in and see who you really want?
No, I know who I want.
You know,
I got my guys.
He said it before. Soon, we're going to do like a not necessarily mock draft, or maybe we'll do like a mock draft where we just like pick the players we want.
Yeah.
We'll do that soon. But, hey, man, okay, keeping things around the NFL. There was a few firings in the past few weeks. I just want to say I called this first one that we're going to talk about. Shane Waldron, offensive coordinator, Chicago Bears, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, gone. I don't think that'll be the only firing in Chicago. I think Matt Eberflus, I think his seat is red hot right now. I'm not going to lie. I think it's red hot. I think more change to come. I think Ryan Poles is probably going to wait to the end of the season to fire him. Because, like, I don't know. That's typically how it happens, right? Like, they'll fire offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators first, and then they'll fire the head coach afterwards. Like, that's just typically how it works, because I guess you don't want to clean house right then in the middle of the season. But, Chicago, they got changes coming. The Saints fired Dennis Allen, which I'm not surprised at all. Because if you look at his head coaching record, he was bad with the Raiders. He wasn't good with the Saints. And the Saints, they look lost. They dominated their first two games. They haven't looked good since.
It makes us getting dominated by them disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you, they kill us and then they lose every game following.
Right, right.
I just don't understand how that happened to our team. I think that was a clear case of someone being outcoached.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious that.
The guy that got fired.
Mike McCarthy still has his job, and the guy who absolutely embarrassed him got fired he did.
Right. Hold on. Speaking of Mike McCarthy, because that kind of leads to my next point. Do you feel like the Grim Reaper is waiting at his door, too? Do you feel like Jerry's just going to wait until the end of the season?
Yeah. No, he's not going to fire him. He's just not going to renew his contract. Same thing he did with Jason Garrett.
Right, right. Okay, so you expect clean house, wholesale changes the end of the season.
Because Mike Zimmer is only on a one-year contract, and this is the last year on Mike McCarthy's contract.
Right.
Pretty sure. It'll just be a clean slate coaching wise.
Yeah. Okay, so you expect more changes to come, and you expect Dallas to make sweeping changes.
Absolutely.
Do you anticipate, I feel like I know the answer to this question, but do you anticipate them making any changes to the front office?
No.
No, yeah.
They have no reason to.
It's going to be a Jones run organization until it's not, right? Okay. Well, yeah, we'll see, man. I think a few coaches' seats are getting hotter. Like I said, Matt Eberflus, Jeff Ulbrich. I know he's the interim coach with the Jets, but, like, I don't think he's going to be getting a contract extension anytime soon unless the Jets fully turn it around, which it doesn't sound like they're capable of it. And, you know, it might be bigger than him at this point. They got a lot of issues in New York.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll with the Giants. I don't think he should be fired, but I think he might get the short end of the stick on this one.
Right.
Although he's talking about now, did you see he said he doesn't know he's going to be the starter moving forward with the quarterback?
That's what I was about to say. I think it would be – they'd be better inclined to get rid of Daniel Jones.
Yeah. This is last year. You
basically give Daboll a better
– give him an actual shot?
Right.
Give him an actual shot.
A new quarterback. So they'll probably be drafting a quarterback this season.
Dude, I'm telling you, go watch that Hard Knocks with the Giants, bro. Brian Daboll wanted Jaden Daniels so bad. He wanted him so bad. Who knows, man? Look, he might have Drew Lock in there starting for him. Maybe that turns it around. I don't know. The Giants have so many issues. I'm not saying turn around like they're gonna be a playoff team, right? But like maybe they can run an offense.
Hey, win some games. Get y'all's worse than y'all's draft pick so we can ours get better.
Look at this guy. He's rooting for the Giants to win some games. We'll see, man. I guess essentially the NFC East could look a lot different next year.
Absolutely.
Right, in terms of the Giants, in terms of the Cowboys, Washington and Philly. I mean, Philly, like I said, Nick Sirianni, he could be on his way out. I want that to happen. We'll see. We will see. But hey, man, I saw a stat. The game against when I was watching Baltimore and Cincinnati last week, right? And I saw a crazy stat which nobody is talking about. Do you know what I saw?
What?
Derrick Henry rushed for 1,000 yards in 9 games. He broke the record.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because
Ricky Williams had the record, right, for rushing for 1,000 yards in 10 games. Derrick Henry rushed for 1,000 yards in 9 games.
It's insane. What he's doing right now.
That man is insane. He's crazy. First ballot Hall of Famer. With all that being said, who do you have as your midseason MVP?
I think this season is showing a lot of different things in terms of – I think it's supporting my narrative that the quarterback should not be getting as much credit and or blame – for wins and losses, just in general, I think that it's showing a lot of the games across the season. I think a lot of people would have had Jared Goff as their midseason MVP for having the Lions at their
I can't put them out there right now
because of their record. But after, you know, like we just said, we said earlier, playing five against Houston Texans, having five interceptions, like, and they still win the game.
Off. Right.
It's the, it goes to show that a lot of their wins are because of just their team around is just such a good team.
Right. And I won't say, like, just real quick, I'm not gonna say, like, Jared Goff, he's had a good season. It hasn't like, he hasn't been putting up like crazy numbers, but he's had a good season. But like, you can't throw five picks and just still be in the MVP conversation like that, dog. I'm sorry, that can't happen.
I don't think you can be in the MVP conversation when you're, because
you don't feel like he's the driving force.
Because in the sense that the main argument for him would be because of their record.
Yeah.
But when you see that, when he has games where he's not even just the five picks, he has a game where they won and he threw 85 yards.
Right. Like, I think the biggest thing for him this season has been, like, his completion percentage has been super, super efficient. He's just been very efficient with the football, turnover free until last game. Mm-hmm. Right. He's played clean football. And when you're playing clean football at the quarterback position on one of the best teams in the league, right, you're going to get looked at more, right? The spotlight's going to be on you more. So I think really that's what's come down to with him specifically.
I think that, as well as if you look across, if you go back to last year's MVP, that what Lamar Jackson has done this year, I can't remember the numbers, but I saw something that said he has close to the same numbers already this year than he had last year. Yes. And I saw a Ravens.
Really? I don't know. I need to look at that because
I have to find the, because I saw a Ravens fan talk about it, and in my head I was like, that's not the flex you think it is, in the sense that, yes, it means he's playing well this year, but it makes me think that last year he wasn't playing that well.
It was last year, it was close up until that San Francisco game when Baltimore played San Francisco and they went into San Fran and steamrolled them.
To me, that was the
ceiling game for Lamar for MVP.
I could see that. I think that I get that. I feel like that.
Because, I mean, the talk at that point was really like, I mean, Dak was still in the conversation, but it was really like Lamar, Purdy, and then Dak, right? And Brock was having a pretty good season, and Lamar's having a really good season, and then they go in there. Baltimore's defense makes Brock Purdy look like a high school quarterback. Lamar is slicing up one of the best defenses in the league. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, like, Lamar's MVP.
I think that...
That's what I took away from it.
I see what you're saying in, like, that being, like, the pivotal game. Mm-hmm. But I think the entire... That kind of just ignored the rest of the season in terms
of... Well, that was a pretty late game in the season. That was a Christmas game.
Yeah, I think that the rest of... I genuinely think like he had a mediocre season.
Lamar Jackson.
Last season, yes.
You know, people are going to start thinking you a Lamar Jackson hater, bro.
I mean, he had 9 games worth of touchdowns. That's what he has right now. I think his number, he showed up in a lot of big moments, and I feel like that's good for narrative-wise, but I think the entire season's body of work
I need to look at his numbers.
An MVP-level season. And like speaking, like you said, I will be a Lamar Jackson hater. I definitely want to clarify that when I said Dak Prescott was a better player, that instantly contradicted my entire argument. It's not Dak Prescott's a better player than Lamar Jackson.
Okay,
it's that Lamar Jackson is not a better player than Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is not a better player than Lamar Jackson. When they're in that. The people in that
category.
You're
saying they're equal.
It's like, I don't see that Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott can affect the game more than the other. I think they affect
the game. I disagree, but I see your point.
I think they'll affect the game in a different way, but the results will be the same given what the rest of the team does, what the rest of the defense does, what the receivers, what the game plan is. Right. I think, and that goes for, like, I have the people in that tier I named them were Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud.
Did you say Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it.
That might be, yeah.
And then the next one is Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, well, I guess I'd throw Kirk Cousins like at the lower end of that tier one. Because Kirk puts numbers up, bro. Like I'll put
Kirk in the second
in
one.
In the second, I mean, the one I'm naming now. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you could put him anywhere. I probably put him at the bottom of tier one.
Yeah, and I think all these guys, they, like I said, they just affect the game in different ways, but are good enough to give you the same results. Just given, I think football is just too much of a game that depends on what other people are doing.
The
10
other guys on the field.
Yes.
Yeah.
To think that one player.
I don't disagree. Well, I don't disagree, but yeah, football is like the ultimate team game, right? Because if one person isn't doing their job, that messes up the whole play.
Right.
Right. At the same time, though, like.
What is this? If your rankings and what you want out of, I think if it's based off results, then that there isn't too much disparity between the two.
Between Dak and Lamar.
And any of the quarterbacks in that category.
Aside from Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. I think that if you take.
In terms of like championships and playoffs, sure. But in terms of like, and I guess, you know, that's when you get into like individual accolades of it, right? Like Lamar Jackson's a unanimous MVP, bro. He's a 2-time MVP. That's not something easily, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, yeah, I agree with the unanimous MVP, but I mean, we can pull up the numbers.
I need to look at his numbers again. Okay. Hold on. So like all that being said though, like who is your MVP right now for this season?
Derrick Henry.
Okay.
I think.
No, you can absolutely make that argument.
It's hard because I feel like the crazy thing is if it's not Derrick Henry, it's Lamar. But they're on the same team, so it's like, how can you say
I'm with you because like I'm not gonna lie, I find myself like talking about Saquon in the MVP conferences. I'm not saying he should like he's the front runner. I'm not saying, but I think he should be in.
I could get with that.
In the same breath that Derrick Henry has rushed for 1,000 yards in 9 games, Saquon was knocking on the door. He was at 945.
And they won't give him the ball.
945 ball. Yeah.
Like, that's my – I'm a Cowboys fan, and just give him the ball.
I know, dude. It's infuriating sometimes. But like
– also, sometimes the Ravens don't give Derrick Henry the ball
they
enough.
They don't. It's weird. Like, down the stretch against Cincy last week, first of all, the way that game ended was crazy. But, yeah, they weren't giving Derrick Henry the ball down the stretch. I don't know, dude.
Speaking, would you have given Nick Sirianni's history and what his decision making? Would you have wanted to kick the field goal in that Cincy game or go for two after getting that touchdown?
Oh, Zach Taylor, I would have kicked the extra point.
I agree.
I would have kicked the extra. Because it's weird because he went for it on 4th and 2 in the first quarter in their own territory.
Yeah.
Like no, I've said it before. Zach Taylor to me is not a good head coach.
The only reason I could kind of agree with going for two is because the defense hadn't got a stop.
I get it. Like I understand your rationale, but at this point, your season is on the line. Like since he lost this game, they can't lose another game. Otherwise, they're officially out. Right. So I mean, a lot of things would have to go their way for them to have a chance to even squeak in as a wild card at this point. So,
in my opinion, you just kick the field goal and then,
if
I'm a coach, especially in that situation, I don't know if this is like selfish, but I want, if we lose the game, I want it to be because they beat us more so than I made a decision.
Yeah, dude, listen.
Like, you know what I mean?
Kick the extra point.
Yeah.
And give your quarterback, who's been going all up and down the field on the Ravens defense, give Joe Burrow a shot, right?
In overtime.
Give him a 50-50 chance. You flip the coin, you call it, y'all might get the ball, you might score, you might win the game.
Y'all might not get the ball and might get a stop.
Right. I would have kicked the extra point because, dude, like, at that point, the momentum had shifted so much.
It was going back and forth.
It was, but like I feel like in that moment, like if you're Cincy, you kick that, you go to overtime. Okay, Baltimore's like, man, we got to reset. And again, that goes back to my whole thing with Baltimore, right? Time and time again, they've come out and not really this game, but like for the most part this season, right? They come out, they dominate, and then in the fourth quarter, they let their foot off the gas, mm-hmm. right? So that just plays into my whole thing with them again. If I'm Zach Taylor, I absolutely kick the extra point.
I agree.
I'm not going to lie, dude. I think Cincy needs to start looking at him. I keep talking about, you know, more changes coming, and he's getting hotter. I think they need to start looking at him because –
Oh, they'll. I think he.
He's probably not going to get fired. Mike Brown's cheap. He Zach Brown ain't, you know, demanding too much. You know, he doesn't seem like he demands too much yeah. of his owner. He's probably not going nowhere. But I'm just saying, if I'm Cincy, like I don't think Zach Brown is the guy. Or I'm sorry,
Zach Taylor.
Zach Brown. Yeah. Zach Taylor. I don't think Zach Taylor is the guy to get them over the hump. Me personally.
I can see that. It's how do you. There's not really much you can build off of a Super Bowl appearance other than winning, but
no,
that was like their ceiling, and it's just been downhill.
And like he's
since.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's like maybe if he'd at least got back or got close to getting back, there's not
all smoke, no cigar,
right?
All smoke, no cigar.
I can definitely see him being on the hot seat. Or
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I could understand him being on the hot seat.
I think he should be on the hot seat.
Right.
I think he should be. Exactly. I mean, I think Sean McDermott from the Bills, I think he's a better head coach than Zach Taylor. But, I mean, Sean McDermott, he might be on the hot seat after this season. We'll see. I don't know. Baltimore or Buffalo, they're starting to squeak out games. Josh Allen is starting to turn the ball over a little bit. So we'll see.
Definitely.
We'll see how that plays out. But, okay, Derrick Henry is your MVP right now. God, dude, like, because this season is the renaissance of the running back, right? Like, the running backs are back, right? Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon, all these guys are balling in their new teams to a lesser degree.
Aaron Jones was looking good.
Aaron Jones, yes. What's the guy's name? With the Chargers. J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins looking really good. Like, running the football is back now, apparently, right? So, yeah, no, God.
Could have fooled us. although Rigo Dowdle, when he gets the ball and he gets his opportunities, he hasn't looked bad. I can't be mad at the performance Rigo's getting.
Like, do you think he has the capabilities of being like y'all's featured back?
No. I still want to address that this offseason.
Yeah. But no, I get you.
What he was given and what our what the offensive line gave him mm-hmm. and just our run scheme in general.
Right.
I can't be too mad at the
he's made the most of his opportunities.
Right.
With whatever limited opportunities he gets. But
even Zeke up until that fumble, I wasn't too mad at what he had given us.
Right. I mean the whole season Zeke has not been
I've been more mad at the run scheme than the running backs.
Right.
I do think they weren't the best out of the they.
You could have had Derrick Henry.
I still think in terms of ability wise, we definitely did have one of the worst running back rooms in the league.
Right.
But I think the run scheme was the biggest part, the biggest benefactor to that.
You can have talented players, but the scheme is bad, dude. It doesn't matter. Right, like that's just the reality of the situation.
Before Deuce Vaughn was getting healthy scratches, he was getting halfback dives and just slamming him up the middle like he was a future guy.
Yeah, no, it's just that's coaching. That's just bad coaching right there. Dang. Okay, hold on. My MVP, my Missy's MVP. I might be with you on Derrick Henry, man. I want it. You know what it is for me. Don't get me wrong. I'd love for Lamar to get a third one, and it's like okay, like this guy's like starting to really separate himself from everybody else. I think he would have to like, and I mean he's putting up numbers, but he would have to finish the season on a heater, right? Like
yeah.
Throwing the ball, running the ball. Like he's already, I mean, and running the ball. I mean, he's going to do that naturally, right? But for me, I may say Derrick Henry, but I won't be surprised if Lamar gets it. Derrick, I mean, he might mess around. Dude. Yo, if Derrick Henry gets like 2,000 yards and like
what would we say, like 16 games?
If he gets like, 2,000 yards, and like 16 touchdowns.
Oh, man.
I think he gets it because he scored a touchdown in every game so far. Yep.
Yes, he has. Yeah, yes, he has.
So even if he doesn't even have, if he just gets to like 15 touchdowns, I think with 2,000, close to 2,000.
That'd be great. That'd be great for running backs.
Because if he gets 2,000 yards, he'll probably have like 300, 400, maybe 500. If he gets 2,500 total yards.
Because then, right. No, yeah, absolutely. Saquon's scrimmage yards is crazy right now. He's already well over 1,000 yards for his scrimmage.
Yeah.
He averages like, I think, 125 scrimmage yards per game.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, definitely ridiculous.
Nah, yeah, dude. If Derrick Henry won MVP, that'd be great for running backs. That'd be great for running backs. Dudes will start getting paid again. Running backs will probably start getting valued more in the drafts. Right? The last running back we saw get drafted in the first round was Jahmyr Gibbs.
I don't think they'll get paid again, even if he gets MVP. No. I think...
I say forget the MVP. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, they signed, like, relatively modest deals. Right, Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. We forgot him too.
Yeah,
he's on a 1 year deal in Green Bay. It said 4 years, $48 million, but his is only 1 year guaranteed. Like he could get cut after this year, and be back on the market again. So
right now, Derrick Henry has 1,200. He has over 1,200 total yards and 14 total touchdowns. So
see what I'm saying?
Can get that to 2,500. He'll have 20 plus touchdowns.
He's at 1,200 total yards right now. And you said 14 total touchdowns?
No. I said he'll be at like 20 total touchdowns.
He's at 14 right now?
He's at 14 right now. He has 12 rushing, 2 receiving.
We're only in nine games into the season.
This guy has
14 touchdowns.
It's got to be Derrick Henry.
Dude, if Baltimore finishes, if they keep steamrolling guys, it has to be Derrick Henry. Unless, like I said, Lamar would have to put up like outstanding numbers throwing the football. And he can do it. We'll see.
Right.
He's capable of doing it. We'll just see. It has to be Derrick Henry. That's crazy. But looking ahead a little bit,
that's why Jamal's killing in fantasy right now.
Does he have Derrick Henry?
He has Derrick Henry and Lamar. That's his starting quarterback and running back.
Jamal has, oh my God.
He lost his first two games because that's when Baltimore
they were trying to figure it out.
They were still figuring it out. He's won like 7 straight.
That's crazy.
I think he lost this week, though.
I got to check.
I got to check, yeah.
That's funny. Shout out to Jamal. hold on. Looking ahead a little bit, this Thursday night football for us.
Mm-hmm.
We got Washington.
Yep. How you feeling about that going into it?
I'm feeling good. Like I said, on talent, I feel like I've said it before. On talent alone, I feel like we have the best roster in football. I'm not gonna lie. Washington, Dan Quinn, they've some would say overachieved. They've had a huge roster overall this past offseason. They brought in a lot of guys, drafted a lot of guys. Actually, funny enough, one of Michigan's former players, Mike Sanistrell, he got drafted there. He's one of their starting corners. He's been really good for them, I'm not going to lie. Jaden Daniels, they were talking about him for MVP at first, but I was like, calm down a little bit. But Jaden Daniels, he's obviously their franchise guy. Him and Terry McLaurin, they got a real solid connection. Terry McLaurin literally said, like, this is the best quarterback I've ever played with.
Yeah, for sure.
Washington, they got a pretty good squad over there, man. They're the second best team in the NFC East right now, in my opinion, behind us, obviously. It's a good team over there, man. I don't know if Marshawn Lattimore is going to make his debut because he didn't play last week for them. Remember, they traded for him.
Right.
Former All-Pro corner from the Saints. I don't know if he's going to make his debut this Thursday. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. It's a hamstring injury, I think, with him. But look, my expectation is for us to go in there and dominate, dog. We got Saquon Barkley. We got A.J. Brown. We got Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. We got a fully healthy offense and a fully healthy defense. All right? And I just – if we play at our best, there's only a few teams in my mind that should be able to play with us and hang around with us. All right, we got a rookie quarterback coming in. We got Vic Fangio, a defensive coordinator with 30 years of NFL coaching experience. Right, if you're telling me that man can't scheme up a way to get Jaden Daniels off his spot, then what are we doing?
right? So, no, I'm feeling good about it. Obviously, I'm taking it one game at a time. Again, Washington's a good team. I'm not going to say they're not. But no, I'm expecting this to go in there and really start to run away with it, man. Give Saquon the ball. Kellen Moore, please give Saquon the ball.
Simple.
Give Saquon the ball.
Very simple.
Because, you know, again, I've said it before, you feed Saquon, what's going to happen is they're going to load the box and you're going to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith one-on-one on the outside. And I'm taking that matchup every time. All right, so, nah, man, Jalen Hurts, he's got to play clean, decisive football, right? Be clear with your reads, be fast with your reads. Don't try to force it. I've said it before and I'll say it again. As long as Jalen Hurts plays clean, he plays his game, I'm cool. We're cool. It's when he starts pressing, right? Or he starts missing reads or making the wrong reads. That's when things go haywire. So, no, I'm feeling good, man. Obviously, again, Washington's no slouch. Nick Sirianni better be able to manage the game well. Dan Quinn, I mean, hey, man, say what you want. He's coached the team to a Super Bowl, and he's coached a morbid Washington team to a 7-2 record right now with a rookie quarterback. So the man clearly knows how to do something right.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, obviously you just come in, divisional opponent, right? Divisional games are always tough, and Washington's a good team now, so we got to watch out for that. But all in all, feeling good, man. We just got to go in there and do our jobs, man. That's all I'm praying for, go in there and do our jobs. Could it be a close game? Yes. Should it be? No, in my opinion. So, you know, come Thursday night, we will find out.
Yes, we will. I think it'll be a pretty good game.
Right.
I think the Commanders have shown that they're, like we said, we both picked them as our sleeper teams coming into the season.
Yep.
But I think a lot of the rest of the league is,
They're 7-2.
7-2.
They're 7-2.
7-2. I do know their two losses have came against the only two above 500 teams that they've played.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. They're about to play a really good team in us.
Exactly.
So we'll see where we'll see where they really stand in terms of like the better teams in the league. But looking ahead even a little bit further, y'all got Houston Monday night.
Right.
How are you feeling about that? I mean, are you even...
I'll keep it short and sweet. Houston should dominate, even with the injuries they face. I think Nico is coming. I think...
He's getting close.
Right. He should be.
He's getting close.
He's not back. They wouldn't even need him. Even without Stephon Diggs, I still think they have a lot of talent in there on that team. They should
this
dominate.
This should be a fix-it game for them.
Yeah, right. Honestly. This should be absolutely be a get-right game.
Dang. Who would have thought? 9 games in, we're talking about Dallas in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, it really just boils down to...
injuries, bad coaching.
Yeah, simply.
All the above.
I mean, because the bad coaching, you might be able to overcome a lot of the poor efforts in some places, but right. I mean, when injuries is just
poor moves in free agency.
I mean, even a lot of things. Those are things you might be able to overcome. But like once you're starting quarterback, and once everybody goes down like that, the season's automatically over. And that reminds me of like what another thing I wanted to say about when it comes to a lot of the quarterbacks in the tier list and everything.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it really comes down to preference. And so for me, I would prefer Dak Prescott especially because as a Cowboys fan, I've only had 2 quarterbacks. And they've both been, at this point, we can say Dak has become injury prone. This is his second season ending injury.
In the last, three, 4 seasons?
The first one was in 2020. That was the first one. So in 9 seasons, he's had 2.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even in between that, he's had nagging injuries. He's missed games.
Right.
He's missed a couple games every season since that.
Right.
Season-ending injury in 2020, and before that, we had Tony Romo, and everybody under the sun knows how injury-prone he became.
Right.
So when it comes to having a quarterback who's a better runner, I would not want that because I feel like that is. I agree with Jerry in the sense that that is the the most common way to is for your quarterback to get injured, putting your quarterback in that position to run the ball, or when he is a rushing when quarterback he's a like quarterback. That, and his first instinct is to run, or you're drawing up plays
right
a lot of the time throughout the game to run the ball. I think last year what we did, I think you should have be a threat to run the ball, obviously, and should be able to when it comes down to it.
Right.
But I think it should be almost like a last resort, because both of these season-ending injuries for Dak have been on long rushes of him breaking the pocket. The first one was in the Giants game.
I was watching that game. He wasn't scrambling when he hurt his hamstring, though.
Well, he heard it on that run. He scrambled and got the first down, our longest rush of the season. And that's where he said he heard
a pop.
And then, he heard the pop. And then I think it was a play or two later on a throw where it, like, really messed up. But it started with the rush.
Right.
With him running the ball.
I think it truly depends. Like, I take your point and Jerry's point. I think it just depends. Like Cam Newton, right? The Panthers ran him into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, the Buffalo, got to be careful with that, about not running him into the ground. Jalen Hurts, we've gotten real cautious about that too, right? Like, we don't run a lot of QB draws and options like that for him anymore. But I think even
Lamar's dealt with injuries before.
Right. But it's funny because, like, all of Lamar's injuries, and you can look it up, like, all of his injuries have come from, like, in the pocket. Like, he has not gotten hurt after he's gotten popped. And it's funny because, like...
Well, that's the opposite, because Dak is only gotten hurt.
Right. And it's, I think, like, Lamar, he does such a good job of protecting himself out in the open space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, Russell Wilson, he used to do a really good job of that, too. I think dudes also, like, yes, quarterbacks can get hurt running the football. I'm not arguing that. But I think it's also a matter of, like, are you calling... Like, how many plays are you calling for your quarterback to hold on to the football?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does your quarterback know how to protect themselves, right? A lot of quarterbacks don't even know how to slide nowadays.
Did you see him?
Yes.
I don't even want to talk about him.
He needs to retire.
At this point?
He needs to retire.
It's almost like he's trying to hurt himself.
He needs to retire. Tua Tagovailoa needs to retire.
He threw an interception and tried to go for a tackle. And, like, pretty much dove at him with his head. The same way, like, the last concussion he got that struck this one, he was running the ball and led to try to run somebody over with his head.
Tua,
that is the definition of does not know how to protect himself.
Tua Tagovailoa needs to retire.
The way he plays football is just... it's not even like a health risk in terms of because he could get hurt. It's because he could hurt himself. These are almost like it's hard to say that to feel sorry for when he's leading head first.
I can't feel sorry for him anymore, bro. I can't. I'm sorry.
He's leading head first and causing these.
I can't feel sorry for him anymore. I have no empathy for him. He needs to retire.
The only reason he didn't suffer another concussion is because he missed the tackle. It's kind of crazy to watch. But yeah, that was just another.
He needs to retire. Tua Tagovailoa needs to retire. Tua, if you catch this, bro, retire. It's okay to move on from football. Period. Point blank. The end. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I am Eric, your residential Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo. Please like, comment, subscribe. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram.
Turn on that notification bell on YouTube.
Turn on that notification bell. All right. We are coming. You can find us anywhere you can find podcasts. You literally have no excuses anymore.
Repost us, retweet us, like anything we post. Get us right,
because we're trying to get y'all right. All right. And then again, I'm sure I speak for Lando, and I say we appreciate all y'all tuning in and listening every week. And until next week, peace.
Later.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.